I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my car ride home from work. I work as a classroom teacher and as an instructional coach, and each week I dump ideas here onto the podcast. They say that if reading is breathing in, writing is breathing out. And I do a lot of reading and research on teacher PD, and I spend a lot of time in the classroom and in instructional coaching. So these 10-minute podcasts are my chance to kind of breathe out, so to speak, dump a lot of those ideas out for the world to share and collaborate with, and then again, continue the conversation both here on the podcasts where I just sort of talk, and also on social media. If you have something that you want to contribute to this podcast, or if you had ideas, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm at Meehan, E-D-U. But this week, we're talking all about microlabs. If you've never heard about a microlab, we're going to spend about 10 minutes walking you through how a microlab works, what it does, what it can't do. And it's a really cool idea that you could put into place in your classroom as soon as today. Which is great. One of the great things about these 10-minute podcasts is they're bite-sized enough that they're just like single action items. And being so action item oriented, it's just one idea that you can say, hey, you know what? I listened to this podcast on the way into work, and I could probably make that happen in my class with very minimal setup today or thereafter. In fact, the next 8 podcasts will be devoted to pieces or components that I typically include in what I call a QR break-in. In the last episode of the podcast, we talked about how the QR break-in kind of came to life. Think of it like a 21st century spin on a center's activity. But one of the centers I always have included in the QR break-ins is what I call a micro lab. Now, I'll point out that in the QR break-in, the micro lab is not a true micro lab, so that's really just a timed discussion. But today, I will walk through the real protocol of like how an actual micro lab protocol came to be and how it can work in your classroom. It can work for kids as young as like 3rd or 4th grade, really all the way up through high school. It can become a staple of your classroom instruction. Any content area, it's easy to adapt, and we'll lay out the pedagogy for it in today's podcast. So, about the microlab, I was first introduced to this protocol when I went to an instructional coaching seminar at the University of Kansas under the direction of Dr. Jim Knight. He is an instructional coach extraordinaire, and he does most of the research on how instructional coaching works in the teaching field. And one of the things he did while we were at the week-long training is he had us take part in a microlab. And the format is super simple. It's so zen. It will be sort of funny when you hear it, like, I can't believe I didn't think of this in my classroom. But here's how the format works. It's a timed 5-minute conversation. Students work in groups of 3, and only in groups of 3. If you have one odd group of 4, that's okay. And I'll explain how that works at the very, very end. But let's pretend for a second you take your students and put them in groups of 3. My rule about student groups, whenever you work together, always make sure that your desk is touching every desk of the person who's in your group. That way you don't get this sort of thing where like 3 students are in a row and they're like, oh yeah, we're kind of working together, but then they don't even see each other's faces. So the desks need to be touching, that's the first piece. But you put 3 students into a group together, and it's a timed 5-minute conversation. Everyone follows the exact same protocol, whether they're in group 1 or all the way through group 10. And the protocol runs thusly. For exactly 1 minute, every member of the group is asked to think silently, and you actually have a big old timer on the overhead. A 5-minute timer works perfectly. You can grab them off of YouTube, or you can grab them off of Google. Just search for 5-minute timer or Google timer, and it'll be right up. You project it, and you say, all right, guys, here's the question for the day. What is, and whatever the answer is one of those wide-open kind of answers that there's no wrong answers. It lends itself to a bunch of different types of conversation. Example, what is your favorite album of all time? Whether you listen to Metallica's Black Album or Paul Simon's Graceland or the Beatles' White Album, there's a million reasons why you like the album that you like. And the idea is that you leave the question so deliberately open-ended that it lends itself to about a minute's worth of talking. So if you said, look, my favorite album of all time is, I don't know, Metallica's Black Album. What I love about it is, well, I mean, the sound is really good, and then there's some great tracks on there. And it's not just the radio tracks, but it's the deep tracks and blah, 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 blah. You can see very quickly how easy it is to start spinning more detail in. And during the full first minute of the microlab, every member of the group is timed to be silent. During that time, they can like jot some bullet points down on a piece of paper. They can review their notes or go back through their books for annotation. Maybe review any data from a lab. And the idea is that we've left the question wide open enough so it's interpretive in some ways. This is great for what they call higher order thinking questions, right? Those hot questions. They lend themselves to a bunch of different explanations, and there's no wrong answer as long as you can use text evidence. Great examples could be like, hey, we just read chapter 4 of The Great Gatsby. What character are you most scared by right now, or most offended by? And again, there's no wrong answers. You just sort of have to be able to provide the text evidence to bear that out. Or, hey, we just finished this lab on, single-celled organisms. What about your lab findings? What about your lab data strikes you as the most curious at this point of our research? Again, different people will have different reactions, and that's totally okay. You want to honor that. But the microlab gives everyone a minute to think about what to do. So after that minute is over, it then moves to the second phase of the microlab. There's minute 2, minute 3, and minute 4. And each of those minutes, it's exactly 60 seconds timed, are devoted to exactly and only one person in the group sharing his or her feedback. So if person A goes at minute 2, they get the entirety of minute 2 to sort of spin their wheels and have those conversations and practice what they want to dive into that conversation. So using the album example, like, oh yeah, my favorite album is, Beatles' White Album. What I really liked about it is blah, 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 blah. Paul has this great song where yada, yada, yada. There's this great piece by George with the music. I think that's really creative. Okay, fine. Maybe that person runs out of gas at like 38 seconds. Everyone else in the group is silent. And they remain silent for the duration of that 60 seconds so as to honor that 60 seconds is totally devoted to the person who is first presenting. While that might sound weird to like encourage that quiet time actually allows people the chance to think and deepen their responses. Because typically, student responders fall into one of two camps. The first person to talk is always the blurter, the person who just wants to get all their stuff in, like, oh, I know the answer, and they throw the hand up. And what that does is it sort of tells every kid in class, hey, I don't have to raise my hand. You know, Billy's going to always just blurt the answer out. And so it sort of lends some equity to that. In addition, for your blurters, this forces them to take a full 60 seconds and really spell out their thoughts. You know, they might have a great idea. They know the answer for a 10-second version of an answer. But to get a full 60 seconds of floor time, that requires depth, and that requires explanation, and that requires some metacognition. You know, why did you think what you thought? And so the microlab is an awesome, awesome opportunity to get that person thinking over that duration. The second type of person in the classroom is the type of person who just doesn't like to talk so much. And maybe they'll be like the one word sort of answer, yes, no, right, I don't know. But they also have that 60 seconds. And so the way the microlab works is that equity of voice says whether you're person A or B or C, every single person in the group will be given a full 60 seconds and exactly 60 seconds and expected to fill it. So you as the teacher have the ability to float between groups and say, maybe if you're seeing a group starting to like struggle because one person is, you know, being quiet, you can just lean in and like poke with a question like, ooh, why'd you say that, Billy? Oh, that's interesting, Sue. Well, you know, do you have a page in the text that led you to that thought? So you're practicing and cultivating that ability to grow those responses from those 10-second blurts or those one-word answers out to a full 60 seconds. Likewise, it gives a reassurance to some of your more introverted students that, look, you only have to talk to 3 people, and you only have to talk for 1 minute. That really can help demystify this idea of public speaking. They said that the number one adult fear is fear of public speaking. If you can get practice in with 2 or 3 of your friends, it's so much easier than when you have to stand up in front of a classroom. And then you can use your microlabs to build to a larger class discussion like a Socratic seminar. So person A goes for the full minute by his or herself. Then person B picks up. Same question, and they either piggyback or they pivot or they push back. I disagree. My favorite album of all time, it's not White Album. It's got to be Revolver or it's got to be Rubber Soul. And then they talk about whatever they wanted to lend. And it might be what they had jotted down earlier. It might be something that was inspired by what the first person said. Again, like a snowball rolling down the hill, we're learning to deepen and strengthen our conversations by listening critically, which is a big part of critical research and speaking. Is hearing what somebody has to say and actually responding to them rather than just waiting your turn with your hand in the air. Because the second a hand goes up, you're pretty much saying, I'm not listening to whoever's talking. What I have to say is more important than they do. So again, that full second minute of the talking time is devoted to the second speaker. Repeat that process for the third minute, the third speaker. And then at the conclusion of the microlab, you have that extra minute because it's a 5-minute timer. That's where you turn into an open group conversation where all 3 persons can talk together. But because they've already had about 60 seconds to do like their first draft of their dump of thoughts, it works out really, really well, because what we find is students have a natural equity or parity. Like, hey, when you said this thing, I wanted to say this, but I wanted to hear else what else you have to said. And so we do that sort of thing to really help model how to have better conversation. And then afterwards, you can just open up to the whole group and everyone, hey, group A, group B, what did you guys hear or say? And you as a teacher, again, are floating the whole time. If you have an odd fourth person, if one group has four, during that open talk time, that's when that fourth person can talk. But I love it because you can rinse and repeat that process every day for a warm-up. Or you can say, okay, you know what? Today we're doing by birth order. So the firstborn in a group is going to speak first. Or alphabetically, the first person alphabetically. And lending that sort of variety. So you know, as a teacher, you're kind of simultaneously listening to five or seven conversations. But really, you're making sure that the protocol is protecting it so that every student is delivering to the standard. So that's it on the Micro Lab, and that's a micro podcast for the day. Thanks for listening. Please tweet at me. I'm @MeehanEDU, and I'll be back again next week with more. Thanks.